This is Boris on Bainbridge. I'm Philip Boucher, and today I'm with Chris Stanley, and we're going to talk about electric cars, vehicles of the future.
Right.
And we're in front of his garage. And this is your, what is it, Corbin car?
It's called a Sparrow. It's originally done by Corbin Motors, and they eventually went out of business, and Meyer Motors has bought their assets, and they're starting to produce some. They're much more expensive now because they're actually putting better components in them.
How much is such a car worth?
We paid $16,000 for this one, and the new ones I think are about $30,000.
Wow! Yeah,
which is a lot of money. But some people said if you have a business and you want exposure and people to see you, people see these cars and they think, "Wow, what's that?" And you put your name on the side of there, and immediately you got company recognition.
Yeah, it's right. And I think there, you told me there were at least two others on Bainbridge.
Yeah, well, there's two others on Bainbridge.
So you have the green one.
And I have the green one.
There's a red one, I think, or a yellow one?
There's a yellow one. This is actually teal. There's a green, and there's a yellow. So those are the three colors that are on the island. There was a woman who had a white before, but hers, she's moved off the island.
And this is a one-person car, and you told me how far can you go when it's fully charged?
Fully charged, the theory is 30 miles. So if the weather conditions were just right, you were going over level ground, and the temperature was just right, you could probably make 30 miles.
A lot of if, though, yeah.
I have gone from Bainbridge Island to Redmond just past Totem Lake. And it started going really slow at that point. And we were visiting a company where I was doing a tour for my students, and we got there, and I parked it, and I have a couple of graduates who work in that company. I said, "You guys got a heavy-duty extension cord? Can you throw it out the window here?" I plugged it in, and 2 hours later, I was able to drive back to Seattle.
Yeah.
And then I needed a part for my Apple, so I stopped at a store and got a part for the Apple, and then I was getting low on electricity again, so I took it by work, and I plugged it in again. So as long as you can find an outlet, you can charge it. You don't even have to find a gas station.
And how fast does it go?
The speed record for a Sparrow is 82 miles an hour.
No kidding.
This car, I wouldn't feel comfortable
taking
it over 60.
No. But it's already fast.
It will go freeway speed, so it's fast enough. And it's fun. The biggest fun is when you're in an urban area, downtown Winslow, downtown Seattle, and you drive it past, everybody looks at you and they smile.
Yes,
my biggest problem driving it is my cheeks store from smiling back at everybody.
But you said this is considered a bicycle or is
a motorcycle?
A motorcycle. So you.
It's legally a motorcycle, and so you can.
So how do you do when you
can take it on the HOV lanes?
Yeah.
And when you want to go on the ferry, which is why we bought it. Actually, it would be nice if we were buying it just because we're environmentalists.
Yes, sure.
It's like. People see me on my bicycle and they say, "Oh, you must be such a great environmentalist." Well, it's just a whole lot easier to get on and off the ferry on a bicycle. So anyway, this is a motorcycle and it goes on before the cars, or it can cut around the line for the cars at any time and come in. Mm.
Big,
and so
big advantage, and you don't pay as much as a car, I assume.
It's less than a car, more than a motorcycle. They consider it a motorcycle with a sidecar because it has three wheels.
Oh, I see.
And it's just funny. And it's very interesting because there's a car that's very similar to this, the Messerschmitt, that was in Germany.
Uh-huh.
So at the end of World War II, there were not a lot of resources in Europe. And so they tried starting up some cars that were much more fuel efficient.
Really? Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so you saw these, like, two-cylinder cars from France and Germany and stuff like that, which you don't see anymore. And so there's a place somewhere in the U.S. where they have a three-wheel car museum, and you can find it on the internet, and it's very interesting to look at that. And of course they do have a Sparrow in their museum now.
Well, if you give us your the website, then we'll add it.
So we can
and
do that.
And the only thing with this one, as you said, is that this is a one-person car.
Yeah,
but here I see a wonderful car, another one. We have the picture on the side, so you can go to voiceofbainbridge.org. and this is what is it?
Well, this is a 1982 Mercury Lynx. The company Jet Industries in Texas, during the last great crisis of the late 70s, early 80s, bought a fleet of Fords as gliders. So they had no internal combustion engine in them, and they converted them to electric right off the bat.
How did you get it?
I bought it from a photographer who worked for Boeing in Kent. And he was only the second owner. The first owner was in Belfair, And then he bought it from that person, and he finally got tired of maintaining it. And we looked at it, and I said, I don't like the way he's been running things. So we bought a new pack of batteries for it. And so it operates on, I think, 16 lead-acid 6-volt batteries, which are golf cart batteries.
Huh.
And so they have to be watered once a month. And we put new wires between them all, because that's really important, because if you have any resistance in there, it melts the terminals off the batteries. And you could see where he had melted a couple and rebuilt them. So that was the first thing, is we did the wiring. And I put some, there's better meters to tell, you know, how much voltage you have left and how far you can go. And so we've been actually, we set up a small company, limited liability company, and its asset is this vehicle.
Yeah, that's another part of this. It's an electrical vehicle, but it's a sort of a cooperative vehicle, right?
It is.
Not
it
a
is,
one owner.
It is owned by a group of people who...
We share your idea that this is great to have an electrical vehicle.
Yeah, well, we thought Bainbridge is a great place, because actually electric vehicles... Maximum range is about 30 miles, and you can go anywhere on Bainbridge Island and come back in about 30 miles, and then you charge, and then you can go again someplace else. And so there's a group of us that are using this. We go down to TNC with it. We go up. You can go up to Battle Point Park. I've taken it up to Day Road. I take my mom to church sometimes with it. It's really nice because it has doors that open really wide, which is easy for my mother who's wheelchair bound.
Wow.
She can get in and out.
Yeah, you can have four people,
and you can get four people in. Actually, five. There's a fifth seat belt in there. But the fifth
it
person
runs,
is pretty small.
50 miles, eventually.
It will go 50 miles an hour, but its range is less than we had hoped for. But essentially, you can make it up to Day Road and that part of the island. And I actually have a friend who's also got an electric car, and I went and visited him. And when I got there, I had first taken my mother to church, so I'd gone all the way up to Day Road. And then I dropped her off back down in Winslow. And then I drove down to Blakely Harbor. And that's where he lives. And so I was almost out of juice when I got to his house. But we plugged in there.
Yeah.
And by the time I was through visiting, I could drive it home.
So you still have a limitation in terms of range, with the type of battery as well. Because maybe it's linked
to the new
technology, new batteries that would be more efficient.
Right. And there is hope for that. And the biggest problem is... it's a chicken and egg issue.
Hmm.
The price of batteries will come down when they make a bunch of them, but they won't make a bunch of them until there's a big market for them. And so the hybrids are the hope, because the hybrids are creating a bigger market for car
batteries. Yeah.
And a more efficient battery. And so eventually when there's those come down enough in price, more electrics will come in. But electric cars have been around before internal combustion engines.
Yeah, you were telling that. This was
because internal combustion engines were crank-started for a long time until they invented the starter. And so women's cars were often electric.
Aha!
And so in cities where you had electricity, they could just plug them in and recharge them at home, and they'd just turn them on and they'd go place and they'd come back. It was very easy.
Do you have an idea of how much it costs per mile? In terms of energy?
Well, I know on my car...
If you compare that to a car that's an old car...
A charge on my batteries costs about 25, 30 cents. And you can go about 20 miles. So that's about a penny, maybe a penny and a half a mile.
Mile, yeah.
So. And gasoline, it's considerably more than that.
Yeah, the real problem is really the limitation in terms of range for the moment.
But if you think about it, most people,
don't go that
most
far.
Trips are less than 10 miles.
Yeah.
And so 90% of all commutes in the United States are less than 20 miles and one person. My other car, the Sparrow, is designed to meet that range.
I don't know if you can go do a big shopping with your... It's not that much storage,
well,
is
I fit,
it?
Yeah. I fit three bags of groceries and
really?
One of the big things of toilet paper in the back of that thing.
Oh,
and in order
was,
to fit the toilet paper in, I did have to take the packaging off and stick it into little spots.
I thought it was less space than that, so it was
It was. It's really quite good. And when I was recovering from my accident... I would strap my walker onto the side of it because I couldn't fit it inside. So I just had some ropes sticking out, and I would tie it up. And I was driving around with my walker attached to the side of the electric car.
Do you remember? I don't know if you were aware of this story where General Motors and Ford destroyed the electric cars.
Oh, we know very much about that.
What happened? What's your take on that? because it's strange. I mean, did they think you absolutely don't want to be into the electrical car business, or that was a crazy story?
They developed technology in order to meet the California smog standards.
Yeah.
They did not want to
do
let anybody know their technology.
Huh.
So instead of letting the cars go out, and the cars were only leased. They did not sell any electric cars.
That's true. I didn't get why.
And so when it was no longer required by law, they took them and they crushed them.
Yeah, but
because
why?
Trade secrets.
But no, they said they were giving them to the museum if people wanted. They didn't want to leave them
and
to
any
the owners.
Place they gave them away, they took out all the electronics before they gave them away.
Really? That's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story.
But why would they?
And if you were a conspiracy person, you'd say it's because they want oil still to be king.
Yeah.
But I'm not a conspiracy person. But they saw it as trade secrets. And when I talk, I have friends at Ford because I teach in industrial design technology at my school. And I actually have students, graduates, who I've taught how to carve cars out of clay. And they go off and work at places like Ford and Honda. And when I went and talked to the people at Ford, they were very into hybrids. And I don't... knowing what I know about hybrids is a real problem with that, because hydrogen is not a resource. It is simply a medium for transfer of energy.
Mm.
It takes a lot of energy to make hydrogen, and then it takes energy to compress it and get it into a storage system, which actually is a nickel hydride tank, because it's unstable if you just compress it. And then you either run it through a fuel cell or you burn it. And it burns cleanly because it just makes water vapor. It's really nice stuff. But you need something to make the power to make the hydrogen.
Yeah. So
you can't make hydrogen just using hydrogen. So you've got to burn coal, you've got to burn nuclear energy, or you have to do renewables. Batteries, plain old lead-acid batteries, are actually more efficient way of storing energy than hydrogen.
Hmm.
The advantage with hydrogen is you can just fill a tank with it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the battery is it takes 3 hours to charge it.
Yeah, but as you said, you go to your place of work, you plug it in, and you spend 3 hours, 8 hours there, and you plug
you
it again,
to Alaska,
and that's it.
Or you go to places in the Midwest.
Yeah.
There are plugs all over the place to keep the cars warm in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could have charging stations all over the place. Electric cars are much more efficient in their use of energy. 80% of the energy in a gasoline engine is spent as heat.
Yeah.
Goes out of your radiator, goes out your tailpipe. Mm. Only 20% of that energy goes into moving the car forward. Electric batteries are much more efficient.
Yeah. You can imagine you park your car, you plug it in. I mean, you pay for the parking.
You could
plug it in, and that's it.
And they did that in some places in California when they had the electric cars. And so people could do that. I know a fellow who had a Sparrow who put 1,000 miles on it in one day.
Really? Just
it would only go 30 miles on a charge.
Took him a long time.
It took him all day, you know. He took it, plugged it in, went and had coffee, tea, and something like that, and then drove another 30 miles and then plugged it in. And he went hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
In a day. And he was trying to see, well, what kind of distance can I get on this?
I read also about someone who had a rickshaw, the rickshaw, the bike, but he had also batteries in it. There was some you have one too?
That's one of my neighbors.
Really?
Sure.
I haven't seen it.
Let's see. Let me go through this door.
This is an electrical vehicle.
Yes, it's a
place.
Hybrid. There it is.
Ah, yes.
Construction.
Woohoo.
This is the electric motor.
It's brand new.
Yeah, he's still building it.
Ah, he's building it.
Hmm. And I did some of the machining on some of his parts here.
So because you get to exercise and
still get some
support if it's too heavy or if you're tired.
Well, the problem is the hill he has to go up is too much for him just as a cyclist.
Bicycle,
and so he wanted to electrify it. And the thing is, once you electrify something, it gets really heavy.
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah.
And he's an engineer. So he's been doing his own design. And the batteries are under there.
So what were you? We can even have a show when it's done. When do you think it's going to be done?
I don't know.
Depending on how much time he has to do it.
Yeah.
So he's carrying all that there. Yeah, because there's this person I was telling you who decided to live with the Amishes. At one point, he started a business. but he went back to civilization, so to speak, in St. Louis, and doing this, transporting people, having a taxi.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's very exciting, I think. I hope we can see more electrical vehicles around. And I don't know, people will not notice your car, the old car, because there's nothing that says it's electric on it.
And there, well, if you look carefully on the license plate, it says, please be patient, I'm electric, because it can be a bit slow in certain conditions when it doesn't accelerate really fast.
Yeah, I took a picture. I don't know if... all listeners will be able to see that.
Once we're done with the interview, I'll take you for a ride.
Okay, well, if you're done with the interview, then we're going for a ride. Thank you, Chris. Take care. Bye-bye.